Love Sport Radio. On digital radio, online, mobile, and smart speaker. Fast-paced delivery that's sure to knock you for six with former England opening batsman. This is Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup Show on Love Sport.
What a morning, and what a bit of devastation for England, losing to Pakistan yesterday in their second World Cup game. It really was a great spectacle and has thrown open this World Cup. I'm Nick Compton, and this is the Nick Compton's Cricket World Cup Show. I'm very delighted to be joined by Guy Watts, senior correspondent, who's got all sorts of views for you today. But starting off, Guy, what a shock.
Wheels are off, Nick. It's all falling apart. World Cup's gone. Another 4 years of disappointment. Well, look, it took a few days, a few games for the World Cup to warm up. But I think with the South Africa and Bangladesh game on, what was it, Sunday, and then obviously England-Pakistan yesterday, it's well and truly kind of started now, hasn't it, with a couple of close games, good finishes. And yeah, it's a shame we were on the wrong end of it yesterday, but maybe a good lesson for us, a good wake-up call. I don't know. We'll see. We'll pick right through it, I'm sure, throughout the show.
Well, listen, I'm all about having a competitive World Cup. I think all the fans need it. There's a lot of interest. I think it's going to grow throughout the weeks and what have you. But I think it's really thrown open this World Cup. Lots of things to talk about. You know, the condition of the ball, the bowling performance, yeah. Which, yeah, and the fielding performance, which we have to say was rather lackluster. And somebody who I know who knows a huge amount of that, who was a fantastic fielder himself, really ran a tight ship, is my good friend Adam Holyoak, who's all the way over in Australia. Good morning, mate.
Hey, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for coming on the show this morning. Just a quick sort of look back at England's game yesterday. Do you think that England were right to go for sort of Wooden Archer up front?
Yeah, I like the idea. I think, you know, they're taking attacking option. I know that I always used to say when I was captaining, you know, always take the attacking option first, and then if that doesn't work, then you can fall back onto a more defensive option. So I feel that that's an attacking option to go with that. Obviously, I don't think the finger of blame can be pointed at that decision. I think it was just a lackluster performance. I mean, I didn't see the whole thing. Obviously, it was sure played throughout the night over here, but I saw the start, and they just looked a little bit flat for me. So
how do you sort of deal with that, Adam? I mean, you know, England's fielding has been so strong, has been such a sort of strength of theirs over the last few years, and they've really set the bar. But yesterday it was poor. Adam, you know, Owen Morgan alluded to that, saying that it was the difference between the two teams. And I suppose as a captain, you know, there are going to be times where, you know, catches are dropped and fielding performances go down.
What I like, I mean, it's, I don't know, 6 months or a year is a long time in international cricket. If we sort of cast our minds back to last year's one-day series versus India and England, and England were under the pump. I can't remember if they were they 2-1 down or 2-1 down in a five-match series, and they came back and won it against probably the, at that time, maybe the side that would challenge them the most in English conditions. And I think in this instance, I think they'll be drawing on that. I think they're not just a good side. They're a side that are used to being under pressure and they haven't just been the number one side in the world for, you know, a couple of months. They've pretty much been dominating one-day cricket for a while now. They've experienced side. They've seen these times when they lose games, and they seem to remain calm and don't panic. Unlike the rest of us who stand and watching, we're all panicking and flapping. That's what I really like about this side, is that they've proven in the past that they can come back from these things and remain calm. And you know, if we're human beings, we're not robots. So
yeah.
I don't suppose that, you know, we do have off days. We have days when we wake up not so good, or you know, a bunch of singers. It only takes a few things to not quite go right, and at international sport that can be the difference, but it's accepting that those things can go wrong and being confident that if you just go back to your plan that you can put it right.
But I think, you know, England have been so strong over the last sort of 3-4 years, and obviously Owen Morgan, Trevor Bayliss have done a huge amount of work to get England to this point. But I suppose a World Cup is different. It comes with different pressures. You know, there's a lot of talk about players playing well outside of that. How did you cope with that pressure in your experience of playing in a home World Cup?
Not very well, mate. It was. I think we were out before the World Cup song came out, so we were knocked out really early. We didn't even make the Super 8. So, we did. I don't think it was a pressure thing. I just think that we, not from the players themselves. I think it was more a collective panic from selectors and ECB who changed the team on the eve of the tournament, which I don't see from the current ECB. They've had a settled side. Okay, there was a big decision about Jofra to come in. But that was a unique situation. One guy qualifying and then becoming eligible.
Do you think
compared to us,
the Archer thing? Bring it in quickly, because I know it's on the top of everyone's tongue at the moment. He's obviously an incredible talent, come in pretty quickly. But I mean, the expectations are pretty high on someone who's played very little international cricket.
Yeah, there is. He is a real talent. There's no doubt. I don't think anyone's doubting that. Whether he's a fully rounded and seasoned international cricketer, I don't think we're probably not going to know that until after the World Cup. But they've taken a risk. They've seen his X Factor, and I like it. They've had a go. They've said we want that X Factor of Archer. But these days as well, he's been exposed to a lot of high-profile T20 competitions around the world. So, the Big Bash, IPL. So international cricket isn't probably as big a jump for him now as it would have been for, someone like making their one-day international debut back in 99, who the only thing they had to compare it to was county cricket. So he's had a look at a lot of these guys and dealt with big crowds and what have you. So it's slightly different, I feel, coming in now than maybe back when I was playing.
Adam, we've seen so much of England's success in this format built on strong opening partnerships, getting the innings off to a great start. But in both the World Cup games so far, we've lost a really early wicket, two wickets lost now inside three overs in two games. And I just wonder, we've seen obviously the tactic of spin being used at the top of the innings from both South Africa and Pakistan. Is that something that, as a captain, you'd be wanting to think about countering with your own, change of tactics a little bit? Would you maybe think about changing one of the openers round to someone who plays spin a bit better? Or is it just about Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow actually just playing the spin a little bit more smartly?
Yeah, I don't think it's just about sticking to what they've done over the period of time. It's not the first time that people have opened with spin against them. I think it's very easy to just say, okay, that's happened. We've developed a weakness. We need to change things. I think true confidence is sticking with your plan and giving it a fair chance. Maybe they just haven't played very well, and that's okay. Like I said, that's international sport. Well, it's not okay when you get to the semi-final or the final, but at this stage, you can play some bad games. I think Australia in the 99 World Cup barely qualified for the Super 8 and might have lost two of their first three games. But all you need to do is qualify. All you need to be is there during semi-final time, and then really use...
Then it's all systems go. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, brilliant.
That's my belief. I'm not panicking just yet, which is unusual because we did in 99. So
it's easier on the other side of the rope, isn't it?
it's much easier
sitting
on the
couch.
The world as well, mate.
Just last one, exactly. Ad. Just we're doing this with a few of our guests. Just wanted to know, what was your best moment in cricket?
Probably my best moment. Probably most people will expect me to say, when we beat Australia 3-0 and I got man of the series, and my brother got man of the match in that game at Lords. But mine's not necessarily the most memorable moment, but it is for me. It was Surrey, we won the championship in 99, and I'd grown up with all those guys in that team. It has been such a goal for us for such a long period of time. And as you know, with the championship, it's sort of such a time-consuming competition. 4-day games, and
yeah,
you focus so much on it. And then to do that with guys who I'd grown up with from the age of 12 was, it's great having success for England or in other things that I've done, but to share that with guys who I'd grown up with and my best mates is probably something that will live with me forever.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, listen, Adam, it's been great having you on this morning, mate. Thanks for coming on all the way over in Australia. Australia, get their campaign going again. They're looking quite tough. But thanks again, mate. We're going to go for a little bit of break. When we come back, We're going to be looking at Joe Root and some of his comments about the ball, and also looking at the slow over it.
Love Sport.
This is Nick Compton for Nick Compton's World Cup show. I'm joined by Guy Watts, and we're discussing what was a rather big surprise yesterday. Pakistan beating England.
If only.
Losing, if only. To England, which was a bit of a surprise. I think there's been a number of things that I'd like to focus on today, Guy. I mean, particularly one, the slow over rate, but also there was a couple of injections by Root and Butler when they got out. They looked at the cricket ball, perhaps suggesting that, you know, there had be a bit of
a little bit of foul play,
underhand stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
and the comment that really has sort of caught my attention in the aftermath of this game, it's not been Owen Morgan saying we're going to bounce back, or, you know, we know the fielding's got to improve. They're all the platitudes that you'd expect. It's Joe Root saying, a mild mannered guy, a guy who doesn't normally look to cause controversy. He said, if I go into it, I will say something that will get me into trouble. I'm just going to leave it, talking about the ball and the condition of it. And Joss Butler made a kind of pointed effort to have a look at the ball on his way off the pitch just after getting out, and Michael Vaughan has said that this was just gamesmanship, and there's always an element of that, but for more than one player to come out and make you know some sort of reference to it afterwards suggests to me that there was a feeling within that England dressing room that there was something going on that shouldn't have been going on.
Well, I feel that gamesmanship has a bit of a grey area, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And players will push the bar as far as they can go in terms of the ball. I think, you know, the one thing that we have seen, and just to sort of speak a little bit about to those who don't really understand, the ball gets thrown in off the boundary on the bounce, and players take their liberties by potentially throwing it, and it bounces twice, and then apologising to the umpire that it was a mistake. It's not a mistake. It's something that happens. You kind of get away with it a few times, and then you get your warnings. You take your warnings and hopefully improve. But I think yesterday there were a number of times where I think what England are arguing against is the fact that when Pakistan were in the field, it happened more often, you know, and were the umpires being fair in terms of, you know, they got spoken to in a fairly strict manner, and were Pakistan spoken to in the same way? And, you know, I've played against Mohammad Amir for a number of years. He plays for Essex, and, you know, there's definitely a longer fingernail on the big thumb than most other players I've played against. But, you know, they are good exponents of reverse swing, and, you know, England have been accused of it before, you know, in Ashes series and what have you. And I mean, we go back to the whole, you know, sandpaper gate almost. You know, how far can you go to try and get the ball to reverse and do something different?
But in this specific instance, you know, we're talking about Butler and Root, both of whom were dismissed to balls that I didn't notice doing anything particularly untoward. Was there anything that you picked up that you could sort of tell why they were, you know, so worried about it and willing to kind of raise it as an issue afterwards? What was it?
It's very subtle. For example, batsmen will hit fours or sixes against the boundary ropes, and often that can scuff up the ball. And what players will do is get the ball back and look at the ball that's naturally been scuffed up or have a little indentation from the advertising boards, and then perhaps use that to their advantage in terms of how they rub it, where they, you know, where their thumb is, and how they scuff, so they sort of exacerbate the sort of natural scuffing
up of
the
ball. So it was Root and Butler's fault for hitting so many boundaries.
Basically, you could look at it like that, yeah.
We've got to get there and
please stop hitting so many boundaries. Keep it on the floor. No, but look, it is something that as players, you know, look, it is gamesmanship. You know, of course, you look at wickets these days, they're so flat. There's not much going on. I mean, the first ball of Mohammad Abir that bowled swung straight through the gate of Johnny Bairstow and almost cleaned him up for a second golden duck, which would have been an absolute tragedy for him. But since then, there was nothing else really to speak of. So, look, players are going to find ways of getting the ball to do something, reverse swinging it, you know, making it a bit softer so that batsmen can't just sit there and hit a hard cricket ball for 4 and 6. So these are the kind of things that are happening. And I think what they were suggesting is that, you know, can we have a look at this ball? There's a bit more going on here.
Were you surprised that Joe Root was willing to come out afterwards and draw attention to it? I know he's not gone into it and he's made a deliberate point of not going into it, but he's also drawn attention to it by saying, I can't say what I want to say because I'll get in trouble.
It's a bit of frustration. I think it's time to move on. You know, England lost yesterday. They weren't as good as they have been in the past. I don't think it's time to stress or panic, etc. I think England have been so dominant for a number of years. In some ways, I'm quite glad they lost the game now. I'd rather they lost now, ironed out a few problems and got those sort of, it almost takes away those nerves a little bit. Like, you know, whew, we can breathe now. We've lost the game. It's all wide open. Let's just get on and play our cricket. And I think that's what was good about yesterday. I'd rather that than that happened in the semi-final.
And it wasn't a thrashing, was it? You know, we still got pretty close, what, 14 runs away from the highest World Cup chase
in
history.
Well, I mean, exactly. And I think the difference is a lot of teams would have crumbled, you know. And I think what we're seeing in this World Cup are the wickets. You know, Michael Vaughan and I was even listening to Phil Tufnell talking about the fact that these wickets now they're quite dry. And you're almost better getting a score on the board. You know, you saw what I liked about Pakistan yesterday. There's been a lot of talk about their inconsistency and, you know, you never know what you're going to get. But clearly Mickey had done a chat with them, you know, after that first game. They got bowled out for 100. You know, West Indies blew them away. But actually, he probably just said, take a little bit more time, you know. And England were quite... let's say, weren't as subtle as perhaps they could have been. It was very obvious that they were coming in with a pace attack. They were going to bounce them. But Pakistan were prepared. They took a bit of time. They picked up the fours and boundaries when they come. And they built a good platform. And as we know, they've got the talent too.
How disappointed were you, though, by England's bowling? I look at the bowling figures and Jofra Archer's gone for nearly 8 and over. Chris Woakes has gone for nearly 9 and over. These are the sort of numbers that, well, Jofra Archer's played not much international cricket, as we know, but Chris Woakes has been one of our most reliable, not just as a wicket taker, but as an economical bowler as well. These are quite bad figures for them. I know Woakes picked up wickets at the end, but he was getting carted to start the innings, and it was a bit worrying, I thought.
It was. Sometimes things just aren't your day. I just felt from the get-go, England just didn't really have things going, you know, whether it's a bit sloppy in the field, whether the bouncer that you bowl should be on target, it isn't, it hits the top edge and goes for 6 and 4, you know, the fielder was there before, you know, everything went wrong, you know. I mean, but that does start with the direction and quality of the bowling. I just thought they were a little bit wayward. You know, the odd bad ball at the end of the over, which, you know, these little mistakes do come in. And I think, and again, I come back to it, that England have almost played such perfect one-day cricket, you know, in terms of their fielding, in terms of their bowling display against South Africa. It's going to happen. These mistakes are going to happen. I think it's about righting it now, almost getting the monkey off your back. But the talking point is Jofra Archer. It's something that we've spoken about for a while in terms of him coming in. There's been so much talk. You know, almost feel like we tend to do this. We sort of find a guy that's got a bit of X factor and suddenly everything goes on him. But I keep coming back to the point that he's only played, you know, a very small handful of international games. And suddenly we've got this guy leading our attack effectively, expecting him to almost blow away teams.
Would you pick in the next game? Because Mark Wood was our best pace bowler yesterday by far. I mean, 3 wickets for 53, under a run of ball in innings where Pakistan went at 7 and over. He and Chris Woakes would be the obvious partnership, you might say, to take the new ball in the next game.
Well, I don't think you can start mixing and matching and dropping one game and pick. I think you've got to go with something that's fairly settled. I mean, you've gone with Jofra. He had a good game against South Africa. He's had a, you know, not a great game against Pakistan. You've got to give him the chance to have a bit of good and bad mixed. You know, if you just drop someone after a bad game, I don't think it's going to build any continuity and confidence. I know Liam Plunkett, in many ways, I think should have played yesterday. I know that there's been talk about his pace and perhaps on a slight decline, but he still takes wickets and he's tall and he hits that back of a length. And I think yesterday they should have gone for that. But all this and more, we've got Sam Billings on the line and we'll be right back with the Kent All-Rounder.
Love Sport.
Nick Compton here for Love Sport Radio's World Cup show. And delighted to say I'm joined by good mate Sam Billings, who's the England injured batsman at the moment and wicketkeeper. Bilbo, how are things, mate?
Very well, thanks, mate. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to hear from you. How's the injury? How's recovery going?
Not very well, that sounds, I think.
Injured phone line, more like, I think.
Didn't like that question, Nick.
No, probably not. I think we'll go... No, I mean, Sam Billings, obviously, I mean, look, we've all been injured at times, but it is damn difficult to sit on the sidelines and watch your teammates in such a big
competition. Even the World Cup. And, yeah, cruel, cruel timing indeed, especially with that Alex Hales incident. Obviously, that might have created a bit of an opening for him. But, yeah, I'm sure he's already sort of looking to the future and thinking about getting back fit and getting back playing again because, of course, as you know as well as anyone, Nick, you do have to deal with those injuries as part of being a professional cricketer, don't you?
I think we've got him back on.
Yeah, lost me there.
Just cut me off, mate. No shock there. Could never get hold of you anyway. But how's the injury, mate? And how's recovery?
Yeah, it's slow progress, but yeah, we're getting there. So it's about 4 weeks post-op. So yeah, fingers crossed, it's heading in the right direction. But as you know, it just takes time. And yeah, a bit frustrating to obviously get injured at this point in time, but one of those things.
I mean, it must be really disappointing watching from the sidelines, thinking you could have been a part of this team, considering that, you know, Alex fell out of favour and there might have been an opening there.
Yeah, but as with any sport, I think it's just one of those things, unfortunately. And look, there's a hell of a lot of cricket coming up in the next few years. There's 2020 World Cup that I've set my sights on to really play a huge part, hopefully, in that moving forward. So, look, it is disappointing, but like I said, one of those things, and you learn probably a lot more about yourself and improve as a person more than anything through kind of difficult times like this, for sure.
Absolutely. I guess you were you got yourself nice and comfortable with a bowl of popcorn yesterday and watched the game. What did you think about it?
Yeah, it was an interesting one, wasn't it? It wasn't kind of the Trent Bridge pitch that we were used to, and you expect it. I mean, even in the first innings, the ball that kind of really got my attention was the stumping off Moeen Ali. I mean, you never really see Trent Bridge turn like that. So it must have been a dry surface, and we saw that going on, certainly in a run chase. Normally, you back yourself to chase every single time at Trent Bridge, but it obviously got lower. Well, not necessarily lower, but slower, and it started to grip a lot more. So, it was an interesting pitch. Like I said, not Trent Bridge as we know it.
Sure. And in terms of England's approach, I know that obviously Pakistan got blown away by the West Indies, and it was, you know, say fairly obvious that England were going to try and employ some of their faster men. But looking at these pitches that you talk about now, I mean, Michael Vaughan was just saying they look quite dry. I mean, does that mean you sort of may have to alter your tactics a bit?
Well, I think with the World Cup obviously being an ICC event, the pitches aren't within our control, really. So it is another factor worth kind of mentioning and taking into account. I mean, 85% of games in the Champions Trophy a few years ago were won by the side bowling first because of those early starts. But maybe we're going to see a different trend this year, certainly. Maybe with the ball gripping a little bit more and pitches getting used. I mean, even the South Africa game against Bangladesh, we saw it was on a used pitch. And again, spin came into it. And Saqib Al-Hassan, such an experienced campaigner, really kind of strangled the South African batsman. So maybe it's been going forward.
Sam, obviously you know these guys so well. You've played so much with all of them, and you've been around this England setup as well. We haven't lost many games back-to-back in the last couple of years. That suggests that obviously when we do lose one game, we react pretty well to it. What will be the atmosphere, what will have been the atmosphere in the dressing room afterwards? What will they be doing today? Will there be anything different being done to what they ordinarily would have done if they'd won the game? What sort of response will you get under Owen Morgan?
No, exactly as kind of what's got us to number one in the world in the last 4 years. The blueprint doesn't change at all. It stays the same. And maybe a couple of days off before heading down to Cardiff with the family and stuff like that. So it will be very relaxed. It's one of those performances that you've got to give credit to Pakistan. They really did put in a good performance. And I think it's been mentioned enough. And it was just a bad day in the office, certainly in the field. And look, we say it so much nowadays in white ball cricket, especially, that fielding does change games. And I think we saw that yesterday. That was all it was. I mean, two world-class hundreds from Joe Root and Josh Butler, which were a joy to watch, really. So the margins are so small in white ball cricket nowadays that it just showed up yesterday.
I mean, obviously, a lot's been spoken about Jofra Archer. I'm sure you faced him a few times.
Quite a few times. Obviously, playing with him as opposed to against him.
But he's obviously a serious talent. He comes off the slow run. He's got a beautiful action. I mean, look, all the praise of him is of course warranted. But I mean, it's quite big ask, isn't it, to come into a World Cup when you haven't played a huge amount of international cricket. I mean, he's played a few tournaments here and there. I mean, do you sort of think that we're heaping too much praise on him too early?
No, I mean, it's clear to see he's a hugely talented individual, but look, he's not going to perform every single game, and it's ridiculous to expect him to do that every single game. But he's a guy in your side, as are the other 10 guys, and I mean, you could even say about the whole squad, all 15 guys. are match winners in their own right. And I think it just it shows where the depth of England cricket is at this point in time, certainly in white ball cricket, that we've got genuine match winners. They're not just guys who kind of fill up the numbers and put in performances here and there. Guys can win games on their own, and we've got a lot of those guys, and Jofra is one of those people. He really is a kind of a three-dimensional cricketer, a lovely cliche that gets chucked around a lot nowadays, but he is X-factor. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Just lastly, Sam, the fielding obviously wasn't what we wanted. The result wasn't what we wanted. But maybe the kind of worst thing that could come out of yesterday's game and result is the potential ban for Owen Morgan. We're hearing it could be a two-game ban if it's deemed to have been a serious offence. The fact that we didn't bowl our last three overs in time and that sort of thing. How big a blow would it be losing Owen Morgan for the next two group games? I mean, he's just got that same ability to command the respect of the group and make the decisions on the field. How big a blow would that be if we did lose Owen for a couple of games?
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that you need to kind of question the respect that Joss has in the group. He's as respected as anyone. So in terms of him stepping into it, yeah, I've got complete faith. He captains very well. He's got a very good cricket brain. But there's no doubt that a huge part of kind of aspect of the resurgence is Owen Morgan, and his captaincy has been nothing short of exceptional the last 4 years. And a really interesting kind of interview the other day that I read of his was how he doesn't even recognise the captain of 4 years ago, and it shows how far he's come as an individual as well. And yes, of course, that experience is priceless, really, certainly in big tournaments. For sure, will be a blow. And everyone realises that. Just got my fingers crossed, of course.
Sam, been awesome speaking to you again, mate. Please do answer my call when I call you next time.
don't be like that.
Listen, great. Good luck with the recovery, mate. I know it's tough and the rehab must be arduous, but keep it up and look forward to seeing you back again. We'll be back after the break with some of my awards, shot, ball and moment of the day.
This is Love Sport.
Right, we're back live on Love Sport. Great chat with Sam Billings, the England wicketkeeper batsman who's injured at the moment, and he's going through the rigmarole of rehabilitation. And talking about rehabilitation, we've got a few days until England's next game.
They'll be out on the golf course, won't they? Owen Morgan's always talking about heading off the golf course. Sometimes I think, do you ever actually practice your cricket? But obviously he does. He's been in great form recently. Is that the way you used to unwind, Nick, a little bit of golf?
Love a bit of golf, although take it a bit too seriously at times. So sometimes... No, shock. No, I think golf's a great way. I mean, cricketers love it. You get on the golf buggies. As long as you don't have to walk and carry your own bag, then right, it's absolutely fine because it ends up being another 5 hours in the dirt, doesn't it?
You don't want to risk an injury, do you? I mean, by carrying something so heavy. There is a game, of course, that's just started today, hasn't there? Over in Cardiff, it's Sri Lanka versus Bangladesh, two of the teams that will be most disappointed with their performances
look
in the first round
of that pitch.
I know. It's like, you know, on the old video games, like Brian Lara, you'd sometimes get like a pitch that was actually green and you thought surely but, you know there aren't real pitches like that but we've got one.
The only thing I would say is that you can kind of be tricked into thinking oh it's green and but actually underneath it looks quite dry. I mean you know there's a little bit of swing early on so it looks like the Sri Lankan openers are going to have to get through it a little bit but there's no doubt it looks quite dry underneath the surface which a lot of these pitches seem to be playing in a similar vein.
Do you think this will be a close game? I mean, two teams that, let's be honest, are at the lower end of expectations in terms of the 10 involved in this World Cup. But could we actually see a bit of a thriller come out of it? Could it be a 180 plays 175 sort of thing on a pitch like this with teams like this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think 180, I think scores are going to be a little bit higher and I think we're not giving enough credit. You know, there's some good players in the side. I mean, Afghanistan are an exciting team. I mean, Rashid Khan, of course, comes to mind. And if it does turn and if there is a bit of pace, then do tune in and watch him because he's an exciting talent. But I think, you know, these two teams are two of the weaker teams. But I think Sri Lanka, I'd like to see them put in a good performance. You know, I think everything that's happened both in Sri Lanka and in the country over time, it'd be nice to see them come out and really play well because they're not a bad team.
quite right. And if they brought their best players, then they would even have a better chance of doing that. Now, Nick, of course, the main talking point is still yesterday's game. England's lost to Pakistan, but there were some high points in it, even amongst that defeat. Obviously, some high points if you're a Pakistan fan. But we're going to start some daily awards, I think. We're going to do Nick's shot of the day. We're going to have your ball of the day and moment of the day, if there's one that stands out for you as well. I think we'll start, obviously, being a batsman. You'll have been drawn to the stroke play yesterday. What shot most caught your eye out of yesterday's action?
Mate, listen, you know, when it comes to batting and playing shots, you know, as you know, I was a real stroke player and loved to get on the front foot, but more importantly, loved to get on the back foot. And for me, that pull shot is no greater sign that you're in control and that you're dominating. And what I loved watching yesterday, from a Pakistan point of view, of course, was Fakhar Zaman's pull shot off Jofra Archer. So much had been spoken about Jofra's pace, bounce, the fact that West Indies had bounced out and blown away Pakistan. And very early on in the game, it was a very commanding pull shot in front of square, on the ground, with lots of control. And I think when I see that, and certainly when I felt that as a batsman, I knew that, you know, I'd set a real tone on the game. And I thought that was a sort of subconscious sort of hit back at England, saying, listen, you can't just come and bully us. You know, we can play the short ball and we're good players. And for me, that was that just sort of signified the tone of Pakistan's game for me. So that was a moment. I think moving on to the ball of the day, I thought Mo and Ali has bowled very well so far in this competition. I think he's going to come into the competition even more, considering the drier pitches. And I just thought that ball that he bowled to...
That was to Fakhar as well. That was to get him out, wasn't it?
And the stumping, yeah.
And I mean, Sam mentioned that, wasn't it? The turn.
Well, you don't see turn like that at Trent Bridge. So that was great to watch. And I suppose the Chris Wokes catch off Imam. I mean, look, a lot was spoken about England's fielding yesterday, and it was poor. It was lackluster. We'd expect much higher standards, but we'll let them off. You know, they're not robots, and it's not going to be that easy. But I think it just shows where this England team is. You know, Chris Wokes, you know, again, the cliche of a three-dimensional cricketer, you know, can do it all, but he really can. You know, I mean, some of the shots he played yesterday, he got 20 off 12 balls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he opened the bowling. Didn't bowl his best, you know. I think we expect tighter lines from Chris Wokes. I think that's what we need. If Chris Wokes is playing, but it wasn't actually his bowling or his batting. It was his fielding yesterday.
Four catches,
but the one in particular off Imam, that, you know, and Imam being in good form was a fantastic catch.
It really was.
You know, it sort of carries on the fielding display that England have shown over a long period of time.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about Fakhar Zaman and his footwear. You know he's a good player because he's audacious enough to wear green shoes. What were the most audacious shoes you ever wore? And if you saw an opposition player wearing a pair of racy numbers like that, would it make you think any differently about them? Would it make you think, if you didn't know much about him, he's going to be a gun player? Or would it make you think, this is a bloke that I'm not going to want to have a drink with afterwards?
I just thought, you're destined to mess up, and you don't want to do that in some shiny pair of shoes. So keep humble, keep your feet on the ground. But look, some players carry it off, and it sort of plays into their hands, and they like a bit of the razzmatazz. And I think it does bring something to this World Cup. But for me, as an opening batter, you know, you're only setting yourself up to fail. So keep under the radar and let your shots and your batting and scores do the talking is my advice.
There you go. That's what Nick Collins has to say. Don't wear your green shoes unless you're as good as Fakhar Zaman. Obviously, one of the other big talking points has been this overrate. And this is a problem that isn't going away for England, because obviously Owen Morgan had that one game ban in the recent series against Pakistan. And some people were sort of saying, oh, is that almost quite good timing, because it gets the ban out of the way before the World Cup? But suddenly we're potentially up in front of the, you know, on the naughty step again, and this time it could be a two-game ban. We don't know yet. It has to be determined by Jeff Crowe, the match referee, whether it's serious or minor, whether it's a ban or a fine. But losing Owen Morgan for two games off the back of a defeat, that would be a pretty big blow for England, would it not? As Sam was saying, he has been vital to this England resurgence. However good a cricket brain and captain Jos Buttler might be, losing Owen Morgan would be significant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's far from ideal. I mean, it's, you know, the captaincy is one thing. I mean, I think partly because the team sort of runs itself now. You know, I mean, the good habits, the way that England have been playing for a number of years is almost ingrained in the group, if that makes sense. So, you know, you could have anyone come in now and captain, and I think
I'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, wouldn't we all?
Maybe not.
No, I'm not taking that away from him. I think the work, you know, he's done the work to get it to this point, you know, and I think Jos Buttler coming in, I think will do a fantastic job, and obviously hugely respected and one of England's senior players. But I think more in terms of the batting lineup, in terms of the consistency of England's approach, we need Owen Morgan scoring runs. You know, we need him, you know, getting those 60s and 70s that he has been doing recently and making a huge difference to England's batting lineup. But I think when you lose someone like that, it does disrupt things. And I think the other thing to pick up on is the fact that, you know, confidence takes a long time to build up. And, you know, England will want to get back on the train tracks very, very quickly from yesterday. It hasn't fallen off, of course. It's just slowed down a little bit. But, you know, England sort of, you know, another bad performance, or, you know, these World Cups are about momentum and all about peaking at the right time. And, you know, off the back of the loss, suddenly Owen's not there. You know, Joss has now got a big role. I mean, he's got 100 in this game. He's the wicketkeeper, and now he's got a captain as well. You know,
no pressure.
No pressure. But I mean, look, there's a lot of talk being about his wicketkeeping. For example, if he is going to be captain for the next two games, does he need that sort of burden to take all three on board? You know, maybe for one game, fine. So we need to find out what actually is the repercussions of Owen Morgan.
Also, the issue that has arisen with South Africa, I think with Imran Tahir taking that ball for the very first over of the tournament, that really set the tone. Obviously a wicket with him getting Johnny Bairstow with the second ball, I think it was, of the tournament. And then obviously it being followed up with Pakistan using the same tactic yesterday with Shadab Khan. This is something that we're going to keep seeing now, because England have shown that they don't like it. You obviously will have opened the innings many, many times, normally against quick bowling, but you'll have also opened against spin bowling. How difficult can it be starting your innings when you're not fully expecting it, when that's not the mindset you're in, facing two such contrasting speeds at the very start of your innings?
Yeah, I've done both of that, and you know, teams have employed that tactic for many years. I think the way you've got to look at it, where I was disappointed with Jason Roy, you know, and can anyone, he's been so prolific for a number of years, but he's playing across the line. Yeah. You know, no issues with playing a sweep shot, no issues with employing those sort of tactics. Players do it very well. But in the first couple of overs, when a spinner does open, you know he's not going to turn the ball. It's a brand new white ball. Very difficult for a spinner to turn it. And you saw Johnny Bairstow played, I thought, one of the shots of the day when he hit him straight over the top for six, hardly moved. And, you know, for me, that's a calculated shot. The ball's not going to turn. Even if you're not to the pitch, it tends to skid on. So I sort of felt with Jason Roy, who for me is probably the best straight hitter in modern day cricketers in terms of his arc, his swing, and the way he does it. I mean, even if he wasn't quite there and didn't quite get hold of it, he still would have got four or possibly a six. So for me, that was the disappointing option rather than anything else. I think England, this nonsense about they can't play. Of course they can play spin. Johnny Bairstow and Jason Roy can play spin. And just because a spinner opens up in the first few overs, you know, all it is just a little bit of just considering it again. Maybe we're trying too much against the spin.
Yeah.
But on another day, you know, I thought they played them quite well. I mean, you know, Jason Roy hit a thunderous back foot shot through the covers first over. You know, these are the kind of things that the players, it was just a bad option.
That was the frustrating thing. He hit two fours off the first over. As you say, Johnny Bairstow, a brilliant shot just a couple of overs later. It's not like they can't do it. It just seems like their thoughts are getting muddled a little bit. And that's the worrying thing, given it is World Cup, given that there is so little margin for error. Let's hope they've got those minds clear for the next game.
Absolutely. But as you know, this game is played between the ears. And to talk more about the mindset of these cricketers, particularly during a professional and difficult time in the World Cup, Professor Sir Carey Cooper will be with us straight after the break.
Love Sport.
Compton here on Love Sport Radio and talking all things England and the World Cup. Of course, a bit of a shock defeat for England, but maybe it was a good thing. To talk more about this, I've got Professor Sir Carey Cooper, Professor of Psychology at the University of Manchester. Great to have you on.
Yeah, great to be on. Thanks, Nick.
Brilliant. Just talking a little bit about the pressures of playing as favourites. How do you think England are handling it so far?
Well, come on. You have blips. You do have bad days at work, and that's just life. And I don't know if you've ever seen Inside Man City when they did last year's football thing. When they lost to Wigan, and then they lost to Man United at home. And then how Guardiola handled it, and that's what's the critical thing. The manager has to be somebody who says to them, hey, it's a bad day at work, that's it, you leave it behind you, and then you give people something to aim for. He said, hey, look, we're going to win this anyway, and they were already, if they'd have beaten Man United, for example, they would have already won the Premier League, right? But they lost to them. They lost three straight games. So what he just said to them is, what are we going to do? Are we just going to give up? We're going to win it anyway. All we have to win is one or two games, and that's it. We've done it. But he said, look, let's have an objective. And our objective is to make sure we score 100 goals and get 100 points.
So it's almost, it's almost becoming sort of goal stroke process focused, isn't it?
Because it's focused. Yeah. Forget it. Come on. We all have bad days at work. Sure. We blew it. We lost, you know, one of the Champions League games. We lost Wigan in the FA Cup. We've lost that. Okay, so we've lost it. But look where we are. We have more points than anybody else. We're outstanding. We won 18 games in a row.
I think that, right? But the one difficult thing I would say is that, you know, if it was a points-based system, we're already know England number one team in the world, so they've almost achieved that winning the premiership, if you want to call it. But as we know with a World Cup, a bit like the Olympics, comes around every 4 years, it's about the moment, isn't it? It's about, you know, almost see it as a positive, you know, losing an early game, but it's about that semi-final, you know, and, you know, that's where it becomes tricky.
Yeah, it does become tricky, but that is what a good man manager does. Whoever your captain is, whoever your manager is, whoever leads that team, it's about how they respond to a failure, to a loss, right? And getting them focused with an objective in mind. And you are right. It is very difficult when you're, you know, you're supposed to be the number one team. Well, City had won all those games and all of a sudden lost three in a row.
But, Kerry, right? the extra facts that we've got here is that England aren't just the best team, the favourites and all the rest of it. They're also the home team and the home favourites. And that's a pressure that comes
and that
with...
puts more. I totally agree with you. And that puts more pressure on you. But you have to get people focused away from that. And you can do it. You can find ways of setting an objective. Okay, that's it. We've had it. We've had our bad day at work. And now we have to decide how we're going to play from here as a team, rather than, you know, throwing a boot at somebody or, you know.
Sure. Yeah, then overreacting.
It's not about that. It's about refocusing it. And I think a lot of it is about the quality of leadership in any sport. And you can see the difference. I mean, you take a look at Mourinho at Manchester United. He bought top players. He spent big, huge bucks. Did it work?
No.
Why didn't it work? Because his management style did not work. Because they weren't a team, and he didn't make them a team somehow. Or he bought stars but didn't put them together in a way and didn't make them feel part of something bigger than them as individuals. And it's about that. It's easy to say, but there is pressure on the England team. Why is there pressure? It's at home. They're predicted to win it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to
sure.
get rid of all that stuff. You just focus one game at a time. Just focus one game at a time. And what's our objective? What are we going to do here? You know what we're going to do? We're going to come back.
And almost
coming back is great.
And almost break the game down a little bit. Almost
break the game down.
Yeah.
Let's
be the best bowling attack in the first 10 overs, or let's keep our focus on, you know, having great starts, or something that brings you sort of back
you're
to
right.
the game
set,
focus.
Set objectives so that you're focusing their mind on that and not what the papers are saying.
Sure, but the one thing that I would ask is, you know, the captain's had a slow over rate, so what happens is I think he might be out for a game or two. I mean, that can disrupt things a little bit, can't it, not having your leader there?
Yeah, it can. I mean, that's the problem with cricket a bit. And, oh no, come on, even football teams, Vincent Kompany was out for a long time, and he was a very, very strong leader, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you if you focus, you get them to focus on one game at a time.
Kerry, I also just wanted to ask, England obviously lost yesterday, a bad result. You can't argue it any other way, but Nick has talked about how sometimes...
No, you accept it. You had a bad day at work. That's
exactly.
It.
Nick's talked about how it can sometimes liberate you a little bit and maybe sort of take a little bit of the pressure off. Is that something that you could relate to and agree with and talk
yes,
about
Yes, I agree
how that
with that. Funny
work.
Enough, I think that's a big motivator.
But the
if it's
feeling
handled
that
the right way, we've had our loss now. Dump it. Done. Bad hair day. We didn't perform well. What are we going to learn from that? But now let's focus in and let's get... Now the expectation comes off you a bit, right?
Yeah.
So the expectation is, oh, maybe England aren't going to win this,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Which is good in a way, because at least if that's happened to you early rather than later.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's
and now you have scope to recover and win it.
Let's hope so.
So, Kerry Cooper, it's been awesome having you on the line, mate, and thanks for giving us. I totally
sure,
agree.
Sure, no problem. Good luck.
Thanks very much. Lots of bad hair days in this studio, that's for sure. Looking at Guy opposite me.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I do need a haircut.
Look, really interesting there, and there's absolutely no doubt. Put it down to a bad day. We all have them. Time to move on, and I think England will do exactly that. I don't think we need to worry too much at all.
And surely, actually, in that regard, they could do a lot worse than looking at Pakistan, because one of the extra shocks about yesterday wasn't just home favourites lose their second game. It was home favourites lose their second game to a team that had lost 11 games in a row, 11 completed games in a row, that we'd beaten 4-0 in a series just a month ago, or less than that even. And there they were, turning around a performance that saw them bowled out for 105 at the same ground by the West Indies just a few days before. And I'm looking at the screen now, and we've got Afghanistan, Sri Lanka on. That's underway at Cardiff. We're into the fifth over, and Sri Lanka already 41. It's going to be 46 for none after five wides there. Obviously, it's early days. They've got a long way to go, but they've started so well after, again, being bowled out for 137. It is possible to bounce back and bounce back in a short space of time.
Well, that's what we love about this World Cup. I mean, you know, look what Pakistan did yesterday. Wasn't it brilliant just to see the passion?
Yeah.
You know, someone's obviously given them a rocket up the proverbial and just said, get on with it. Get out there. Show some Pakistan power. I thought Wahab Ree has, for me, really brought some character to the game. Sure, he goes for boundaries and what have you, but gee, he brought some
He's
character.
Box office, isn't he?
He's box office. He brought some pace, a bit of liveliness. He ran in. He actually gave it back to England and said, you know, we're not going to be bullied. We're going to bully you a little bit. And there were some quick short balls there. He got a couple of wickets at the end, very important times. And, you know, this is what the World Cup's about characters. It's about seeing that sort of country's pride. And that was what, you know, Pakistan bring.
Definitely. And you could see that in the crowd as well. And I wonder, and I don't know if you've experienced this directly either with Pakistan or another country, either playing for England or playing for a domestic team, but they obviously are so well represented in the crowd. I think I'm right in saying that only India and England have sold more tickets by the number of fans that have bought tickets. And you can see Chris Wokes shushing the crowd. That's a bit out of character for Chris Wokes. You see Roy and a couple of the other players get involved with the fans as well. Is that off-putting? Can it spur you on? What impact did it have on you? And what impact is it having on the England team when they're coming up against this Pakistan crowd?
Oh, no, I think it's great. I think it's just part of the energy. It's like anything. When you're winning, everything's going well. You hear the crowd, you get behind it. When you're not winning, you sort of perhaps lose that focus. You know, it's going to come and go. There is a partisan crowd. I think that's why England, I think, it's a great place to hold the World Cup. But I think talking about partisan crowd, we've got South Africa playing India tomorrow. There's going to be split allegiances there. India's first game, which, you know, South Africa are, well, they're already saying that they're out of the World Cup, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're not, of course. They need to beat India tomorrow. A huge game tomorrow. Probably one of the showcase games of the tournament so far.
I think the next 2 days, look, it'd be hard to top England-Pakistan yesterday. But then again, sometimes when you get these tournaments, you just get on a roll and you just get game after game that's brilliant. England in the past have so rarely been involved in them. Although, actually, that 2011 one against India in, where was it? It was in India, wasn't it? Where Andrew Strauss made a huge century. That was a brilliant game that we ended up tying. We should have won it. But yeah, we've got South Africa, India tomorrow, Australia, West Indies on Thursday, which I think is a really exciting looking game. So we've got games coming thick and fast. And that's what I love about this format as well. Every day you've got, well, nearly every day, you might say Sri Lanka, Afghanistan doesn't catch the eye as much, but could yet be a really interesting game as well. You've got these big teams head to head, and South Africa are playing for their place in the tournament already before India have even started. It seems a bit crazy, but it's just going to make it even spicier.
How good would it be if they beat India tomorrow?
I know.
All this talk about India needing a break because their bodies are a bit sore after the IPL, you know, sort of cry me a river.
ICC bent over too far to accommodate that from India saying they want a break after the IPL? Should they have done that?
Well, that's welcome to the world of international cricket. I think, you know, we know that India have a big voice. We know that they're very strong. I do expect them to come out and really put something. I mean, Virat Kohli, you only have to look at the man at the top of the order, the man who's leading this team. You know, he's come here for a reason. He's viciously ambitious. But God, I'd love to see South Africa really come back tomorrow. I'd love to see Umla get a big 100 and really hold that South African innings together. I think there's a lot to look forward to. And, I do think that the fact that this World Cup is open, just watching this game here, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka, not spoken much about them. But, I mean, some real pace on show here. Dorlett's bowling some real heat. I just think it's really livening up at the moment. And we've got so much cricket coming up, guys. South Africa, India tomorrow. It's been a fantastic show. I had some brilliant guests. Sam Billings, Adam Holyoke, who's played in World Cups. And, of course, my trusted friend opposite me, Guy Watts. Brilliant speaking to you today. Goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock.